Hey, y'all, it's Orlando. Listen, before the holiday break, I had the opportunity to sit down with Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist, along with my colleague from Bridge Detroit, Michael Walker, to discuss the population growth report that was released in December. And it's the subject of the Detroit Policy Conference put on by the Detroit Regional Chamber this week. So it's about a 10-minute interview. Take a listen. Thank you, Governor Whitmer, Lieutenant Governor Gilchrist, for sitting down with us. I guess our first question is, you know, recent news that have come out around the recommendations for this commission that study population growth, right? So we have the recommendations. There are plenty of them. And there's some talk around how that would be implemented. So it's on your desk. Co-Vice Chair Shirley Stancato signed it. What's next?
It's a great question. And, you know, one of the things that I think that we're all reading through the report to figure out, what can we do quickly? What is going to take legislative action? What is a more longer vision, right? We didn't get here overnight. We've seen stagnant or population loss over decades. But under my administration, I said, we've got to actually start doing the work to make sure we reverse this trend. So it will not be fixed overnight. It will not be done by the time I'm done being governor, but I want us to have a blueprint to start working from. I think a lot of the things we've done in the last year, $1 billion of tax relief, investments in people, in education, free breakfast and lunch for kids in schools, the Crown Act, LGBTQ rights and the Elliot Larson, women's reproductive rights, voting rights. We've done a lot of good things that'll help us lure talent into Michigan and keep talent here, but there's a lot more that we need to do as a state, and that's why I'm really excited, grateful that they did this work. It was intensive work. They delved into a lot of data, and now it's on us to say what are the next steps we're going to be able to take, and as we digest this report, you'll be hearing a lot more in my State of the State next month and in the budget that I'll present in February.
I'm glad you brought up the budget because the commission did not crunch any numbers. And, you know, there's already rumblings from some Republicans in the legislature around how much this might cost. And it looks expensive. What do you say to that?
I say, you know, no one should prejudge. Everyone should actually read the report and let's talk about where we can find common ground. There are some undeniable things, right? We have to be a place where people can see real opportunity. And that's a path to prosperity for every person, no matter who you are, what skills you come with. But we've got opportunities to upskill, bringing the cost down for people so they don't have to go into a lot of debt to get skills. So I think that there are going to be a lot of pieces we can find common ground on. You know, but anyone who hasn't read the report and just wants to criticize it, I don't think are real interested in solving problems. They want to score political points, and I don't have time for that.
Okay. I want to punt to Micah. Micah, you go ahead with your question.
Sure. Governor, I know Michigan has become the first state to in the country to automatically register formerly incarcerated people to vote. Why was it important for you to make that voting process easier for that population?
I think it's really interesting that so few people that are returning citizens, paid their debt to society, and are now back home, didn't realize that they are permitted to vote in Michigan like they are in a lot of states. And so we wanted to take out any bureaucracy between an individual and their ability to vote. One of the other great things, I think, in this voting rights package is we are pre-registering. So 16-year-olds can pre-register to vote. So when they turn 18, it's done. It's not another thing for them to do. But, you know, my partner in governance, our lieutenant governor, has really been on the front end of so many different efforts, whether it's around juvenile justice or ensuring that we've got smart policies on the books. And if you don't mind, I'm going to ask him to just chime in.
Well, I think what the governor just talked about in terms of that automatic voter registration is really about how we can make sure people have the full access to the justice that they have a right to. And that's not the only way that we've done that. You know, this year we implemented a policy called Clean Slate for people who have, you know, made a mistake, but they've served their time, they've paid their debt to the state and to society. They should be able to now be full participants in life, should be able to get a house or an apartment, go back to school, be reunited with their children and their families. But too many people were not able to do that because they had something on their record. of our automatic clean slate criminal record expungement program, the most expansive in the country, now will automatically give people that justice to re-enter society fully. And that makes it less likely for them to commit another crime because they're more likely to be able to get work. Almost 2 million offenses have been cleared through that. 280,000 people now can get an apartment, can get a job, can go back to school because of this justice that we delivered. And that's what the governor, our job is to do, remove the barriers to being able to be a full person here in the state of Michigan.
Can we talk a little bit about how expansive this voting rights legislation is? Lieutenant Governor, I was down at TCF covering the Central Counting Board in 2020 when folks were banging on the walls and trying to intimidate the counters, right? And so leaving there, I was like, oh, wow. So we have to not only push to register people to vote, but how do we protect a vote? Tell me how this legislation fights against that.
Well, I mean, I'll say I'm a Detroit voter as well, Orlando. So those are my votes and my wife's votes and my neighbor's votes that were being, that people were fighting against. But I think one thing everybody agreed about, those votes were important, which is why they were down there fighting and yelling and screaming. Well, the package that the governor signed also protects our election workers, the people who are frankly the frontline workers of our democracy, make sure that they can be safe. They are free from intimidation and fear so they can do the work of democracy here in Michigan. And we know the work of democracy in Michigan matters nationally. So I'm proud that our state has been one that stepped up and standing in the gap for people, to those vote suppressors, those vote deniers. They cannot beat out democracy in Michigan because of the stand that we've all taken.
I want to ask you both about I-375 and the project that MDOT is leading. It's been a year's worth of engagement. The project is now on hold. I remember when it was announced, you both were there, and you all talked about making a reparative investment in the community that was lost, particularly the Black community that was raised in urban renewal. Right now, there's some controversy around like how to move forward. How do you see a path forward for I-375, making sure that Black folks who lost everything get that reparative investment, and how the Department of Transportation plans to restart or move forward and meet that construction start date in 2025?
Well, I start with, you know, this is a real collaboration. The Biden administration, we had Secretary Buttigieg here, the city of Detroit, historians. This is really supposed to be a collaborative effort. And if we're going to be successful in honoring what the goal is, right, to make a real investment in the city of Detroit and the people of Detroit, recognize a wrong that was done decades ago, generations ago, and build, I think, a city where all people can see themselves and a future, we got to get it right. And so there's been robust conversation with the community. You know, I think that we've got to continue moving this forward, and we will. But I'm grateful that so many people in the community have taken part. You know, I think that that's a good, healthy thing. The worst thing would be for decision makers who aren't from Detroit to think that they know what the community wants and needs, and to impose something. And that's why we've taken a little longer, sometimes a little more challenging tack. But it's crucial we get it right.
Yeah.
So I have a question for both of you. With the six-month mark of My Leap coming up, how will the department support preschoolers and high school students in Detroit, especially as graduation rates remain low?
Yeah. So one of the things that I think I speak for every governor who's come before me, who's still with us, has tried to do is make some sense out of all the disparate ways that we address lifelong learning in Michigan in a variety of departments. You know, the State Board of Education, they've got an important role. The state superintendent also has an important role. But at the end of the day, we need to make sure that we have a philosophy and a strategy around lifelong learning. It used to be that you could get a high school degree and walk right onto the line at one of our auto companies and walk right
so
into the middle
of our
class.
Families did that. Yeah.
You know, and it was a wonderful thing. It also, though, as we see the world moving so quickly now, is not a path to lifelong prosperity. We've got to be nimble. We've got to be able to continually enhance our skill set. And so that's what this new agency department is really focused on. taking those pieces and housing them together so that we can have a strategy, not going from one department for one age group and another for a different socioeconomic group and another that we didn't even have one that was really focused on higher education. And now it's all housed in one. And we'll work closely with the Department of Ed. But as I introduce the budget, you'll see some of the ways that I plan to really enhance that work and make sure Michigan is a state of lifelong learners. When I first became governor, I set our goal at 60 by 30. So that's 60% of our adults with a post-secondary certificate or degree by 2030. We were under 45% at the time. We're now north of 50, so we're making real progress. Even with a pandemic, we're making progress. So that's good, but we got to stay at it. And I think this department is going to be a real crucial asset in that work.
All three of my kids are in Detroit Public Schools, so this is deeply personal to me that we get this right. And one of the things, when we think about MyLEAP, it's structured with three offices. One is an Office of Early Childhood Education, establishing, organizing, and streamlining the way that the state can support our early childhood education professionals and an apparatus that will allow us to get, pre-K available to every four-year-old in the state of Michigan, to have child care providers know that they are well supported by the state of Michigan, that they'll have a pipeline of professionals that can just love on our kids and educate them and prepare them to be early readers. And I'm excited to see what this department will be able to do to deliver that. And that investment in early learning positions young people to be successful in elementary, middle, and high school. And in working with the MyLEAP Office of Education Partnerships, we have so many amazing, diverse, and vibrant out-of-school time providers that provide enrichment alongside what kids get in the classroom. And those are the things that are ultimately going to pique kids' interest about what they want to do professionally. I was in the DAFSA program. That exposed me to engineering. Mm-hmm. And I went on to get a degree in engineering and do that in the first part of my career. Who knows what kids will be exposed to, from robotics or dance or the arts or whatever it might be. But those Office of Education Partnership will be supported at the state level, and it'll help MyLEAP, I think, make a big difference for education in Michigan.
Last question. I want to ask you guys about the mayoral administration here in the city of Detroit lobbying for land value tax legislation in the legislature. If that makes it through, is that something that you will sign into law, Governor Whitmer?
Obviously, it's not gotten to my desk yet, and it's always hard to say what something's finally going to look like, because they often go through many iterations. But yes, that is something that I think the mayor's made a compelling case. I understand that it's not universal, and perhaps it may take some changes as it works its way through the legislature, but I'm inclined to look favorably on it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.